All right, well, welcome to number four show of The Long and Whiny Show. Today we're going to discuss the fourth album, Beatles for Sale. And I'll give it to Mick to give some opening comments.
This was another one of the CDs that I boycotted back in 1987. I refused to get it because it was in mono, and I knew it should be in stereo. I didn't know that I would have to wait till 2009 to finally get it on CD. But for some reason, I don't know if some of these songs made it onto US LPs, because side two of this album was really unfamiliar when I listened to it back in 2009. So it was quite a surprise to hear some Beatles songs that I barely recognized, that were almost new to me. So that was quite the experience.
I think some of these are on Beatles 65, and the other ones are on the early Beatles LP that was released here. You're right, but I don't think all of them made it on, because I don't think, I don't want to spoil the party. I don't remember ever hearing that until 87. Other than that, I think most of these songs did make it. Other than that, maybe What You're Doing. Does that sound familiar?
No, well, to... spoiler warning, the songs that I didn't recognize were Words of Love. I didn't recognize the Beatles version. Obviously, I've heard the Buddy Holly version. Every Little Thing and What You're Doing.
Okay.
I don't know where I Don't Want to Spoil the Party was, but I had heard that song before. That must have been on early Beatles, I guess. Beatles 65 I do have on LP, and that was familiar to me, which is pretty much the first side.
Yeah, I remember No Reply, I'm a Loser, Babies in Black, all those being on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it pretty much echoes Beatles for Sale, the opening of the album at least. But before we get into that, I did want to mention the singles that came out between Hard Day's Night and Beatles for Sale. I mentioned them in the last episode, but I cut that stuff out because I didn't know what I was talking about. So I've done a bit more research, and... the big single that came out about a month before Beatles for Sale in November was I Feel Fine as the A-side and She's a Woman as the B-side. And, of course, I Feel Fine is famous or notorious for having being one of the first songs to include feedback.
Yeah, that's a great tune. It's a good rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Did we cut out your feelings on She's a Woman last week?
Yeah, I cut that whole thing out. I confessed to not really liking She's a Woman, and Jay was scandalized.
I think it's a great McCartney vocal. I think it's a good rock song, and I think you mentioned that they play it on some kind of transistor radio in Help.
Yeah, in the movie Help. One of the spies plays a recording of She's a Woman to distract the enemy. And when I heard it in Help as a kid, I thought it was a parody song. I thought there's no way this could be like a real song. It had to be somebody's imitation of a crappy rock song. And my sister-in-law had to explain to me, no, that's actually a Beatles song. That's Paul McCartney singing. And that has tainted my appreciation of the song since. I just don't like it. I don't like the dissonant guitar in it, and I don't like the melody. I just don't like it.
I like the guitar. I'll have to admit. I think the guitar, I think it sounds kind of cool. And like I said, I love his vocal on it. So it says here that the United States released a single of 8 Days a Week. And I'm trying to figure out what was on the flip side of that. It doesn't mention it.
There's another song that came out for U.S. only. That was Bad Boy. The Beatles recorded Bad Boy and Dizzy Miss Lizzy at the same session, and they released Bad Boy to the U.S. to fill up Beatles 6, the LP Beatles 6. And remarkably, it came out in the U.S. before it came out in the U.K. So the U.S. had an exclusive for a bit, even though it was just one song. And Bad Boy was not on an official Beatles album. It was on a compilation album
Yeah, I
that
don't know where
EMI put out in, what was that?
I just said I don't know where I heard it then because I'm familiar with that song.
Oh, you heard it on Past Masters.
Okay.
But back in the day, it was only available as this kind of compilation album that EMI put out for Christmas. So it was like the old hits plus this one song, and the one song was Bad Boy. So that's kind of remarkable. I don't think I ever realized that the U.S. for a brief moment had an exclusive Beatles song.
I think Bad Boy's it's definitely a rocker, but it's not one of their better songs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think we kind of decided it kind of sounds like Little Child a little bit. A lot of noise, not a lot of musicianship, I guess. I definitely, it's not one of their top 50, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an all right song.
Yeah,
but
it's a good song. It's a good vocal by John Lennon.
Definitely a good vocal, yeah. I think that's probably the redeeming quality.
Mm-hmm. So those are the rare songs in between Hard Day's Night and Beatles for Sale.
I think we've been kind of talking about the last couple of weeks about how much music they've been putting out in a real short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They've already got one movie in the can, and now we've got another album that is released on December 4th, 1964. So there's a lot of output in a short period of time, and this album does have some classic tunes on it. But unfortunately, as we discussed last week, there is a couple covers. And I can't find any info on why they went back to doing that again after Hard Day's Night being all originals. And now they got another album coming out, and it's got some covers on it again.
I would think they're just burned out as far as songwriting goes.
So they're kind of trying to fill it then.
I would think so.
Yeah, that sounds logical. Let's see here. So a little bit of trivia. The album marked a minor turning point in the evolution of the Lennon-McCartney partnership. John Lennon particularly now showing interest in composing songs of a more autobiographical nature. I'm a Loser shows Lennon for the first time coming under the influence of Dylan, whom he met in New York on tour on August 28, 1964. The album hit the UK number one spot and retained that position for 11 of 46 weeks that it spent in the top 20. Beatles for Sale did not service as a regular album in the US until 1987. In its place, Beatles 65, which featured 8 of the songs from Beatles for Sale, plus an A and B side, I Feel Fine, I'll Be Back, from the UK Hard Day's Night album. Beatles 65 enjoyed a 9-week run at the top of the US charts from January of 1965. And I got some overview of the recording sessions. We want to go on to that a little bit. Or
sure.
It says the Beatles began their first session for Beatles for Sale on June 8th, 1964, only 7 days after their last session for Hard Day's Night. So I guess, yeah, you're right. They're very busy in this time period. Prior to the new recording session, the band had also toured Australia and New Zealand, played concerts in the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, and made several television appearances in the UK. A music critic for All Music says that it was inevitable that the constant grind of touring, writing, and promoting and recording would grate on the Beatles, leading to the inclusion of several cover versions after the all-original Hard Day's Night. So that's basically what we've been saying. The band's visible weariness on the album cover is noted by Malcolm McDowell during the Complete Beatles documentary. Yet during these sessions, they were still capable of recording the single I Feel Fine and the B-side She's a Woman, both written by Lennon McCartney and not included on this album. Graham Parsons had noted the strong country influence on I Don't Want to Spoil the Party. I'm a Loser is also notable for being perhaps the first Beatles song directly and reflect the influence of Dylan, thus nudging folk and rock a little closer toward the rock folk explosion the following year. And you're right, they mention here Beatles 6. Let's see what's on that. Opening song for that album is the Kansas City Medley, 8 Days a Week, You Like Me Too Much, Bad Boy, I Don't Want to Spoil the Party, Words of Love, Side 2 is What You're Doing, Yes It Is, See Miss Lizzie, Tell Me What You See in Every Little Thing. So here's where I must have heard Bad Boy, because I remember this album as a kid. I remember you having this too on LP.
Yeah. Man, I don't even remember it until I just looked it up and saw the album cover.
Yeah, now that I see the album cover, I remember it.
Wow.
And after this album in the States comes the Help soundtrack. So I don't have any news this week. It was a slow week in McCartney news. The only thing I read was that he was happy that the referendum in Scotland went the way of staying in the UK. Other than that, I know he has a couple tour dates coming up in October here in the States, and we'll discuss those probably in the next couple weeks. So I guess we'll get into the track listing. Side one, No Reply starts it off. And, I like this song a lot. I think it's well-written, great harmonies between the two of them, as usual. I think George sounds good on it, too. I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way it just goes right into it. It just dives right into the song.
Yeah. And the his voice is kind of, he's not screaming. He's kind of just, you know, just singing the vocal. And I think it definitely portrays what the lyrics are saying. So yeah, I think he used his voice to the benefit of the lyrics.
But I do have to say, John has some serious trust issues.
Yeah. Because
he's writing all these songs about being jealous of his woman.
And we'll see that trend continue in the next couple albums.
I guess I never realized how many songs he writes about not trusting his woman.
I think he has a lot of self-confidence issues, too. I don't think he feels very confident in his, obviously in his music, but maybe in his private life, too.
Yeah, I remember reading lots of anecdotes about how he hated his voice. He always wanted to double-track his voice to disguise it, to fill it out more, and he was kind of jealous of Paul's way of adding all sorts of orchestration and really crafting his songs.
Yeah, I've always heard that thought Paul was a better singer than him. So yeah, there's definitely competition going on between the two of them, even in these early days. I'm a loser. So he's what is he saying here?
I think this is the start of his Fat Elvis period, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be.
I know he talks about it during Help, which is kind of why he wrote the song Help. And I thought it was, I thought I'm a Loser was included in that, where he just let the success get to him and he got heavy and self-indulgent and
he definitely
turned
was
into a Fat Elvis.
I think that the vocals, again, the two of them, they start out the song together, and I think it sounds great. And John's playing acoustic on this, I believe, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he is. I think it's a great song. I mean, I like the lyrics. It's definitely introspective, and I think that's kind of cool to hear John talking about himself, you know, this early in their career. And I think it sounds great. I'm giving it a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Number three, Babies in Black. Very strange song, but somehow it works. Oh dear, what can I do? Papers in black, I'm feeling blue. I think that's a cool lyric. I like the song. I mean, it's not one of their best, but I mean, it is. It's a good tune. What do you think?
It's borderline for me. My college roommate hated this song, and he kind of tainted it for me. So I have trouble liking this song. Although they do a good job with the vocals.
Yeah, I think the vocals really save it.
John and Paul singing together, they really do a good job. But I don't know, I'm not a big fan of this song.
On to the first cover, Rock and Roll Music. I can't give it a thumbs up. The vocal is great, but I just am burnt out on the song.
Nah, I still love it.
I've heard it too much.
Nah, I still love it. It's a great song.
I'll Follow the Sun. I think this song, for me, I think I might like it better than Yesterday. I mean, I know that might be hearsay to say that, but I think it's a really good crafted song. It sounds great. The acoustic guitar sounds wonderful, and Paul's vocals is just, you know, awesome. And it's kind of, it shows a maturity in his, I think, in his songwriting. I mean, he's still in his early 20s, and I think this really shows where he's going to go over the next couple of years. What do you think?
This is a great song, and it's another one of those songs that I keep mentioning where I just forget how good it is. It's got such a great melody that if I didn't know any better, I would swear it was some ancient song, some ancient folk song that the Beatles were just covering. It's just a beautiful song.
And it's only a minute and 46 seconds. I mean, it's a short song. And he did revive this in 05 on tour. And the song's so short, he played it twice, right back to back. So I thought that, and he did a hell of a job in concert on it. So, I mean, I think this song, obviously he enjoys this song still. I just think it's a well-crafted song. And I agree with what you said. Yeah, it does sound older than it really is. And I think that's why it's a timeless song. I mean, I just think it's wonderful. Mr. Moonlight, I think we kind of already talked about that off the air.
Yeah.
You hate it.
Correct.
I like it. And I have never heard the original, but I just love John's vocal. You know, it starts out with him, you know, Mr. Moonlight. Then it goes into the guitar. And it goes, boom, boom, na, na, na. And, you know, you came to me. I just love the vocal. I think it's a great vocal. The song is kind of nonsense. It is kind of silly, but I don't know. I've always had a special place for it. You want to give me your take on it?
I just feel sorry that John had to sing this song. He was probably cringing the whole time. Why did I select this for the track list? And I really hate the funeral home organ that they play in the... Yeah. All throughout the song.
Yeah, you got a point there on that. I'll give you that one. But, so your thumbs down.
Yeah, I do not like this one.
Way thumbs down then.
Yep. This is a skipping song. I would skip this song.
That's where I was going. Kansas City, Hey 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 medley. What are your thoughts on that one?
It's good. I know that Mark Lewisohn, the guy that wrote the recording sessions book and the gigantic Beatles biography, was a big proponent for this song, saying it's as good as Twist and Shout because Paul sang this in one take just like John sang Twist and Shout in one take. So I really gave it a close listen this time, and it just doesn't hold up to Twist and Shout. It's a good performance, but it doesn't live up to Mark Lewisohn's hype.
Yeah, I don't think it's on par with, unfortunately, I don't think it's on par with Twist and Shout, but when he goes into the hey, hey, hey part, I think he really does, you know, he really does rock there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
His vocal is just awesome, you know, he's hey, 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 you know, then they're in the background, you know, responding to him, and I thought that part was good.
John really shows up during the hey, hey, hey part.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's...
I never noticed it before. It's like when Paul and George sing together, they really blend together. But when John and George sing together, it's just John.
Right. Yeah, he's very overpowering. And this is a Lieber and Stoller song, which I didn't know. So you know, that's kind of cool.
Are they both? I guess they're both Lieber Stoller songs?
Which ones?
Both of them. Yeah. Kansas City and Hey, Hey, Hey.
Well, it says Lieber Stoller and then Richard Penniman. So maybe he said Hey, Hey, Hey.
Yeah, they must have, Lieber Stoller must have done Kansas City then.
Did they ever do this song live? Because I thought I remember seeing them do clips of them playing this live.
I thought that some wealthy Kansas City businessman paid them money to sing Kansas City in Kansas City.
Well, that could be true.
And I thought that's the whole reason they did that. The whole Kansas City Hey, Hey, Hey medley.
And we're on to side two, 8 Days a Week. Well, there's nothing bad to say about 8 Days a Week. It's got hand claps. You know, it's just a great song. And it's definitely, I think it holds way up. I think it's still a very good song.
Yep.
And Lennon's vocal is just fantastic on it.
This is what started me on my whole playlist of songs that I don't play often enough. It was when I heard 8 Days a Week a couple years ago. I just forgot how great the song was, and it showed up in my playlist, and I had to sit back and sing along and say, this is an awesome song, and I do not play it enough.
And we talked about a couple weeks ago about how now McCartney's kind of doing this his own way in concert, and I think he dropped in a clip of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded okay. It's not John, but I mean, it did sound good. And the band, obviously, his backing band for it is just, they're great. So, and yeah, it's a good tune.
Big thumbs up. Thumbs way up.
Words of Love, which you mentioned you hadn't remembered.
Yeah, this was a shock when I heard it in 2009 when it showed up on the CD. It's the first time I can remember hearing it. Although I must have heard it originally back on the LP, but it's definitely the first time I heard it digitally.
And
It
the
was on the
Beatles,
CD.
the Apple just released a video of this in conjunction with the BBC Live, the BBC Volume 2, about it was in December, so it's been almost a year. It's a cartoony video because they actually must have played this live in the BBC programs. This song sounds very close to the original. They definitely mimic Buddy Holly's voice the best they can. I mean, the Beatles were huge Buddy Holly fans.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it's such a faithful rendition. I don't think they would dare do anything different to a Buddy Holly song.
I think it's a good song. I mean, I think it's re and they just sing the hell out of it. I think it's a great tune, and they sound great. Thumbs up on this one. On to Honey Don't. Carl Perkins tune by Ringo. Well, not one of my favorite songs. I don't know. Ringo just he doesn't bring he well he hasn't written a song at this point yet for the band. He mo basically always does covers or songs that they write for him. The only part I like in the song a lot is when he tells George to rock one on for him. I think that was kind of cool. This is also a very faithful rendition to the original. I mean, there's nothing much new here. It's basically just Ringo doing a Carl Perkins tune. I mean, compared to other Ringo tunes, I like this one better than most of his stuff, but it's not one of my favorites. What do you think?
No, I like it. I like it.
Like it a lot, or?
Well, I wouldn't go overboard, but I like it.
Every Little Thing? Lennon McCartney singing together on this one. I like this song a lot. I think they sound great. I mean, like we've been saying the whole time, when they sing together like this, and they do that a lot on this album in particular, I think they just sound great. And I like the beginning opening of that guitar sound. That sounds I haven't heard anything like that before, and I just thought it sounded cool. It's not one of my favorites of all time, but I mean, I do like the song. I do like it. It's definitely not a skip song. What do you think?
No, that's a good song, and I'm not very familiar with it, but it sounds vaguely familiar, so I believe I must have heard it way back on the LP. But I do like it. I like the timpani too. It's kind of cool. It's different.
I like the ending when they end both with every little thing. They're both harmonizing on that. I like that too. I don't want to spoil the party. This is definitely a deep cut. I mean, I don't think many people know this song. They're not uber fans. It's a melancholy song, and John's looking for his woman again. He's not. I don't think he's not trusting her on this. He's just trying to find her. I think the vocals are good, and I think it sounds a little different than what we're used to them doing. I think the sound wise is a little different. I like it. What do you think?
It's an okay song. I really don't have a lot to say about this one. It didn't have much of an effect on me.
What you're doing? I love the drums in it, so I'm gonna give props for Ringo for that. Some of it sounds a little dated with the guitar. Dun, 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 dun. That's a little definitely early 60s sounding, but Paul makes up for it by singing the hell out of it. So I like it. Giving it a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good melody. I think this is the one where George's solo sounded really bad.
I don't remember that, but when we're done with the show, I'll play it again.
I remember it being really awkward. I think it was this song. His solo was really awkward, and it reminded me of like the first couple albums when where it sounded like he was learning how to play guitar while they were recording. And so it was kind of a surprise to still hear him stumbling away during his big solos.
Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, another Carl Perkins tune. George sings this one. I'm gonna have to give it a thumbs up. I like any time they give George the mic, let him do his thing there for a little bit. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good song. I don't know if this is a strong enough song to end the album, though.
But definitely not.
But it's a good song.
It's a very strange way to end the album. When I played it over the last week, every time we got to this, I was like, oh, there's got to be one more song after this, and then that was it. Yeah, it was a very strange way to end it, but I like this song a lot. And that's the track list for this. So we're running really short today. What are your feelings on a whole on this album? Because I know last week you kind of mentioned that you thought this was kind of a turning point for the band with Hard Day's Night, and they were going to, you know, they had really started to become really good songwriters. And now we got this album that came out a short period of time after Hard Day's Night. And what do you think about it on a whole?
Well, you kind of scared me off when you were talking about all the covers they did. But just looking at the songs they wrote, there are a lot of strong songs on here. There are also a couple songs that I don't like. So I don't know if this is quite an improvement over A Hard Day's Night. It probably isn't. But it's still it's a good album. It's a decent album. I don't know if I'd recommend the entire album to somebody, but I would definitely recommend some of the songs.
Yeah, I think you're right. The whole an album on a whole, but it's probably not somebody you want to start out listening to the Beatles on. But I think if you take some of the songs, put them on a mix CD, I think the songs are strong. The ones that are really good are really good. And I just found some trivia on Every Little Thing. Apparently, Yes, the band Yes put this on their debut album. Strange. I'm gonna have to hunt down that Yes version now, because that's got to sound interesting. What You're Doing, it says here the lyrics are generally believed to concern McCartney's relationship with Jane Asher, which is also the inspiration for I'm Looking Through You, You Won't See Me, and For No One, which we'll discuss in the next couple weeks.
Also, I'm Down. I thought I'm Down would be in there. Which is one of the singles that comes right after Beatles for Sale.
And I love that song. What do you think?
Oh, about I'm Down?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's a great vocal, too. Paul really rocks it.
Yeah, the vocal's great. Yeah, that's a... And he did that at the New York concert when they shut down... When he opened up Citi Field. He played that there because the Beatles had played it when they were in New York on tour, so he wanted to play it there too. Yeah, I'm Down's a great tune. Any more singles in between?
The singles that came out after Beatles for Sale are actually singles in advance of Help. The A-side, the first A-side was Ticket to Ride, and the B-side to that was Yes It Is. And then the second single was Help, and the B-side to that was I'm Down.
Yeah, Yes It is a great John vocal, and it's a great tune. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, that's in the chorus there, John just really sells it with you know, his voice, and he just sounds wonderful. Yeah, I like that song a lot, and I've always liked that. That had to have been on an album in the States, because I remember that being on an album here before it was on the Past Masters CD.
Yes, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you remember? I'm looking it up now, but I... does say... Well, the song was included on Beatles 6.
Oh, there you go.
So that's where I've heard it from. And that was also on the compilation album Love Songs. Man, that's about it, yeah. It says over the course of a five-hour recording session, the Beatles attempted 14 takes of the basic track before perfecting it, more than any other song they recorded in 1965. It was recorded on February 16th, the same day that they completed Harrison's song "I Need You." After completing the rhythm track, Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison recorded their vocal harmonies in 3 hours, singing live together. Now that's kind of cool. Yeah, this is a vocally, it's a big step for them. You know, I mean, it just sounds awesome. One more thing here on the song. Billy Joel said in a 2008 interview on the national syndicated radio show Rockline that his song, his 1980 song, Through the Long Night, was modeled after Yes It Is. So, yeah, this Billy Joel is a huge Beatles fan. Yes It Is, though, is a fantastic song. I'm giving it a way thumbs up. Anything else on that? We didn't do Ticket to Ride.
Well, you can save that for Help.
Yeah, we'll save it. Yeah, but Ticket to Ride is a great song. So next week we're going to do Help, and we're already into 1965, and I think this is really the period where the Beatles are hitting their, I think, their creative peak, which did start with A Hard Day's Night, but kind of took a little downturn for Beatles for Sale. Not much, but a little bit. And then after Help, we get into Revolver and Rubber Soul and Sgt. Pepper's. I mean, just the classics are now really, we're right on the cusp of getting the classic albums from the band, and it's going to be fun talking about these albums in the next couple weeks.
I have to agree. I mean, if you just look at the discography that's coming up, it's just amazing. It's like the last few albums were The Runway, and this is definitely the takeoff. I mean, it goes from Help to Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah.
Slight dip from Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah, a little bit. Not a big dip though. Yeah, but I mean, the White Album, yeah, we just get into some really great music after this, when we get into Help. It's going to be exciting, next couple weeks, I think, getting into these, talking about them. Some of my favorite albums coming up, so I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to run out of superlatives.
Yeah, we definitely are. I think the next couple albums are pretty much flawless. I mean, I don't think there's any bad tunes on any of these coming up. But we'll talk about it when we get up there. I guess that's it. We'll wrap it. Unless you got anything else to say. We are pretty short today.
It's good, because I don't have a lot of editing time.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of The Long and Winding Show. We'll do Help. Look forward to you guys joining us. See you guys next week.
Yeah, check us out at thelongandwindingshow.com. Or email us at podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Long and Winy.
And we need some comments on our blog roll, too, or on the email. So anybody that we didn't pitch last week to listen to the show at the family dinner, we need some more listeners. All right, that'll wrap it. We'll see you guys next week.